You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
It is the 11th of June 2019. Happens to be the birthday of some of our favorite television stars. Peter Dinklage, who played Tyrion Lannister. Happy birthday to you. Hugh Laurie, best known to a lot of us from a bit of Ryan Laurie or Jeeves and Wooster or indeed House. Or to those of us who remember him from Veep, well, Hugh Laurie is all of that and more, and a very good singer of the blues and jazz, by the way, if you're into that sort of music. So happy birthday to Hugh Laurie, as it happens. And I just mentioned Veep and Game of Thrones. If you are tired, if you are bored that there's nothing else to watch on television, I just have to recommend Chernobyl, which is, again, another HBO show. I can't say it's a show you will enjoy, because enjoy is the wrong word for it. It is a show that is deeply affecting and makes you want to go back and read all the books that were written about this disaster, which is precisely what I'm doing these days. So these are some recommendations for the 11th of June 2019, and also a happy birthday to Lalu Prasad Yadav. Here's hoping that he had some rubbery today. Did you also know that he was, when he became the MP back in 1977, he was the youngest member of the Lok Sabha? Well, you did not know that, did you? Well, there's several other things that you don't know that occurred throughout the course of the day in India and around the world. That is precisely what we do here when we round them all up for you in one place. My name is Rakesh Sharma. You're listening to Stories of the Day right here on Money Control. Well, this is a story we've been following for so long, and it appears there is another development in it. This is, of course, the Jet Airways crisis. Hinduja Group and Etihad Airways may not proceed with plans to resurrect Jet Airways, dealing a severe blow to efforts aimed at rescuing the airline, which has been suspended for about 2 months now, reports Mint. London-based Hinduja Group has decided to halt negotiations to buy a stake in Jet Airways, while Etihad Airways of Abu Dhabi has put on hold a plan to add more investments in the Mumbai-based airline, said two people familiar with the matter, requesting anonymity. As far as bidding for Jet Airways is concerned, the Hinduja Group has taken a back seat now, said one of the two people cited here to Mint. The promoters of the group feel that it's too risky for them to get involved with Jet at the moment due to the ongoing government investigations and the recent insolvency pleas submitted by operational creditors at the NCLT. Two operational creditors of Jet, that is Shaman Wheels and Gaggar Enterprises, filed separate insolvency pleas on Monday yesterday against Jet Airways at NCLT Mumbai. In another big story that rocked the markets today, India Bulls Housing Finance share price slumped in trade today after its chairman and directors were accused of allegedly misappropriating 98,000 crore rupees of public money. But the firm has said these allegations are a desperate attempt to malign the company's reputation and create hurdles in its merger with Lakshmi Vilas Bank. In intraday trading, it fell about 8.32% at one point to 672 rupees 5 paise compared to the previous close of 733 rupees on the Bombay Stock Exchange. The large cap stock underperformed the sector by over 8%. On Monday yesterday, a plea was filed in the Supreme Court seeking legal action against India Bulls Housing Finance, its chairman and directors, for this misappropriation. The petition alleged that money worth thousands of crores was siphoned off by Sameer Gehlot, who is the chairman of the firm, and the directors of India Bulls for their personal use. Abhay Yadav, who is the petitioner and one of the IHFL shareholders, alleged that Gehlot, with the help of one man called Harish Fabiani, an NRI based in Spain, allegedly created multiple shell companies to which India Bulls loaned huge sums of money under bogus and non-existent pretexts. Well, in news that has even been carried by international media, former chief economic advisor Arvind Subramanian, in a research paper, has questioned the government's official GDP growth figures, saying that the country may have grown at an average 4.5% in the years between 2011-2012 and 2016-2017, instead of the 7% average as shown by official data. This period, of course, pertains to both the UPA 2 and the NDA 1 regimes. In the paper, Subramanian, who quit as the chief economic advisor in June last year, used 17 real indicators such as vehicle sales, industrial production, credit growth, exports, imports, etc., to check for their correlation with GDP figures during the years 2001 to 2017. While there's a positive correlation between the two, between 2001 and 2011, they happen to diverge after that. India's GDP data has, of course, been under scrutiny after the NDA government brought about a few changes in the calculation of GDP growth. You may have heard a thing or two about that because we have spoken about 20 or 30 things about it. Subramanian said he would not focus on the political controversies that have broken out over these adjustments, focusing instead on the 2011 base year revision and whether the GDP growth figures released since stand up to scrutiny when compared to other data. Divan Housing Finance Limited, meanwhile, has paid 962 crore rupees interest on non-convertible debentures, that is NCDs, according to a release filed with the exchanges on the 11th of June today. The release also stated that the payments were made within the cure period of 7 working days. Domestic rating agencies ICRA and CRISIL on the 6th of June had downgraded the company's rating on 850 crore rupees worth of commercial paper to default, down from A4, because of the mortgage lender's deteriorating liquidity condition. The rating of the company, which defaulted on a debt repayment earlier this week, has been removed from watch with negative implications by both these rating agencies. Well, speaking of Divan Housing, we can't but not talk about ILNFS. The Ministry of Corporate Affairs has moved the National Company Law Tribunal yesterday to bar the auditors of ILNFS Financial Services, that is IFIN, Deloitte, and BSR and Associates from business for 5 years for alleged collusion with the IFIN management and failure in reporting mismanagement. The application filed by the MCA was against Deloitte, BSR and individuals, including former Deloitte chief executive Udayan Sen, the Deloitte partner Kalpesh Mehta and BSR partner Sampath Ganesh. BSR is, of course, a KPMG network accounting firm. More Moody's news. Rating agency Moody's Investors has placed Yes Bank's foreign currency issuer rating of BA1 under review for a potential downgrade. It has also placed the bank's long-term foreign and local currency bank deposit ratings of BA1, foreign currency senior unsecured MTN program rating of PBA1, among other instruments, under review. It has affirmed the bank's short-term foreign and local currency bank deposit rating of NP. The review for a downgrade takes into account its expectation that the ongoing liquidity pressures will negatively impact the credit profile of Yes Bank, given the bank's sizable exposure to weaker companies in the sector. Well, speaking of debt, Reliance Group has met debt servicing obligations of 35,000 crore rupees in 14 months starting April 1st, 2018, said Chairman Anil Ambani in a media conference on the 11th of June today. This con call comes in the wake of, quote, rumor mongering, speculation and bear hammering, as he said, of all Reliance Group companies' shares over the last few weeks. Ambani said that had caused grave damage to all the stakeholders. Giving a further breakdown of payment from the 1st of April 2018 to the 31st of May 2019, Ambani said 25,000 crore rupees had been paid towards principal, leading to overall debt reduction, and 10,000 crore rupees towards interest payments. Ambani said the company disclosed that the debt servicing payments of 35,000 crore rupees had been made almost entirely from asset monetization, despite a liquidity-starved environment and operational cash flows in an operating environment beset by procedural and regulatory hurdles. He said this amount induced debt servicing payments by Reliance Capital Group, Reliance Power Group, Reliance Infra Group, and their respective affiliates. Well, there's another absconding diamond merchant on the loose. The CBI has booked absconding diamond heir Jatin Mehta in 2 fresh cases pertaining to an alleged loan fraud of over 580 crore rupees on complaints from Bank of Maharashtra and Union Bank of India. According to the complaints from these two banks, Mehta allegedly cheated Bank of Maharashtra to the tune of about 323 crore rupees, while UBI suffered a loss of 264.15 crore rupees. On the basis of these complaints, the CBI registered 2 separate FIRs against Mehta and his company, Winsome Diamonds and Jewelry. The agency has booked the company, its promoter Mehta, full-time directors Ramesh Parikh and Ravichandran Ramaswamy, independent director Harish Ratilal Mehta, and Jordanian national Hafiam Salman Ali Abu Obeda on the basis of the complaint from the Bank of Maharashtra. Well, speaking of absconding, and if you feel like absconding from this country considering the heat wave we are under, IndiGo has put up 10 lakh seats in a new sale with flight tickets from as low as 999 rupees and for international starting from 3,499 rupees. The booking period for IndiGo's summer sale started today, that is the 11th of June, and will end on the 14th of June and is applicable for travel between 26th of June and 28th of September on domestic and international routes. After business news, let's look at what has been happening in the rest of the country. The wreckage of an AN-32 aircraft that went missing with 13 people on board last week has been found in Arunachal Pradesh, the Indian Air Force confirmed today. The aircraft went missing on the 3rd of June. The wreckage has been found in Payum Circle of Siang District. It was spotted by an Mi-17 helicopter of the Indian Air Force at a height of around 12,000 feet. Meanwhile, the EU's powerful antitrust authority on Tuesday today blocked the merger of German industrial conglomerate ThyssenKrupp with Indian steel giant Tata, which was an expected veto and therefore kills the deal. EU Competition Commissioner Margrethe Vestager said in a statement, and I quote, "We prohibited the merger to avoid serious harm to European industrial customers and consumers," unquote. The aim of the merger had been to create the second largest European steel company behind multinational giant ArcelorMittal, and it is no longer now going to be the case. This is, of course, to join forces in the face of the surge of Chinese steel. There's growing unrest between the TMC and the BJP in Bengal. A new bust of Bengal icon Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar was unveiled today in Kolkata by Mamata Banerjee, almost a month after it was smashed to bits during clashes between TMC and BJP in the run-up to the election. The Chief Minister marched down to the Vidyasagar College with the new bust, travelling ahead in an open jeep to restore the statue to its original spot. Bengal is being defamed. If you want to save Bengal and its culture, come together. A plan is being hatched to turn Bengal into Gujarat. Bengal is not Gujarat, said Mamata Banerjee at the unveiling. The Chief Minister declared that she would die working for the people. Some news about the heat wave that we are under. The country is witnessing is the worst ever heat wave, with four cities in North India on a record high. Starting with Delhi, Churu in Rajasthan, Banda and Allahabad in Uttar Pradesh, they've all seen temperatures upwards of 48 degrees Celsius. Churu, which crossed 50 degrees twice in the last week, which is a whopping 8 degrees above its normal temperature at this time of the year. Banda is close behind at 49.2, Allahabad 48.9, and Delhi touched 48 degrees, which is a record high for June. The heat wave is so much that it has killed four people on board the Kerala Express in Uttar Pradesh's Jhansi, according to the latest reports. The Indian automobile market is going through one of its lowest phases, with drop in sales. And it's not just the automobile manufacturers, but their dealerships also, who are facing the heat with the ever-increasing inventory. To find a solution to this, some of India's leading automobile manufacturers will be shutting their plants for several days, which they think will help them deal with this unsold inventory in the market. According to a report on ET Auto, more than 500,000 passenger vehicles worth $5 billion are lying with the dealerships, which have not been sold yet in the first week of June. The scene is equally terrible for the two-wheeler segment as well, where the number is said to be $2.5 billion. Companies like Tata Motors, Mahindra and Maruti Suzuki have already announced their plant shutdown schedules between May and June. Two pieces of news now that will alternately make us happy and sad about Indian youths. Let's start with the happy news, because you know what? We are inundated with a sad one. Facebook has honored a Manipuri man for discovering a WhatsApp bug which violated the privacy of users. Sonel Sugejam, who is a 22-year-old civil engineer, said that the social media giant awarded him $5,000 and included him in the Facebook Hall of Fame 2019 for detecting this WhatsApp bug. Sugejam's name is currently at the 16th position in a list of 94 people in the Facebook Hall of Fame for the year. What did he tell PTI that he was awarded this for? Well, he said, during a voice call through WhatsApp, the bug used to allow the caller to upgrade it to a video call without the authorization and knowledge of the receiver. The caller was then able to see what the other person was doing, which clearly violated the privacy of the receiver. After discovering this bug, Sugejam said he had reported the matter to the bug bounty program of Facebook, which deals with violation of privacy matters. He did this in March. He said his report was acknowledged by the Facebook security team the very next day, and its technical department fixed the bug within 15 to 20 days. The man said he found his name in the Facebook Hall of Fame page this month. Facebook, owned by Mark Zuckerberg, purchased WhatsApp for a staggering $19 billion about 5 years ago. And on to the sad news about Indian youths. A college intern from India was sentenced to 60 months, that is about 5 years in prison, for providing tech support to a telemarketing scam which duped close to 24 people of nearly $1 million. Bishwajit Kumar Jha, 21 years of age, and several other interns from the same college in India who were in the US on hospitality industry internships defrauded a number of people of their retirement savings, according to the Department of Justice. The people that he targeted were 58 to 93 years old. They were duped of amounts ranging from $1,200 to as much as $174,000. Over 3 months, the conspiracy defrauded individuals of at least $1 million, according to Justice Department officials. Now, here's something you might be amused to hear. Business Standard has reported that Yogi Adityanath's government will allow setting up of microbreweries. Because why? Tourism and jobs. In order to boost tourism and create fresh employment opportunities in UP, the Yogi Adityanath government has given its nod today for setting up of microbreweries in hotels, pubs and resorts. A microbrewery is, of course, a small unit which produces limited quantities of beer for captive consumption and is found mostly in establishments like hotels, restaurants, etc. Several states, notably Maharashtra, Karnataka, all have this provision for microbreweries in their major cities. Bangalore is pretty much a microbrewery town. The state has increased the annual license fee, though. It used to be 25,000 rupees. It is now to 2.5 lakh rupees and has also hiked the renewal fee. But the upshot of it all is that the Yogi Adityanath government has said, go ahead and brew craft beer in Uttar Pradesh. Well, India news done. Let's go to America and find out what's been happening there in the financial markets. To start things off, US stock futures have been pointing to a continuation of Wall Street's June rally, with both the Dow and the S&P 500 so far erasing nearly three quarters of May's more than 6% declines. US stocks have been pointing upwards. The S&P 500, up for five sessions in a row, was within about 2% of its all-time highs. The Dow was roughly about 3% away, according to CNBC. The Nasdaq, also on a five-session winning streak ahead of today's open, was just over 4% away from its record highs after May, which saw a decline of as much as 8.5% losses. Tech stocks have been recovering all of those losses that we saw in May because, well, the Congress is looking into whether some of the biggest names in Silicon Valley are too powerful. Speaking of Silicon Valley be feeling too powerful, Trump has gone ahead and said Facebook, Amazon and Google have all been colluding with Democrats against him. Trump has also said that tariffs are a beautiful thing, and he has doubled down on his trade war strategy with China because, well, he claims that there's been a deal, and a good one, with Mexico, considering he threatened tariffs on them and they appear to have fallen in line, at least according to him. So he says if this works with Mexico, it works with China as well, not understanding global economics one bit. But then again, Trump, what else has he done? He has also said to CNBC that China is going to make a deal because they're going to have to. That seems to me like cyclical logic, which only works in his head. Trump is also apparently concerned about Raytheon and United Technologies merger. We spoke about it yesterday, and he also likes EU fines against big American tech companies and would like some of that money as well. Meanwhile, Taiwan's Foxconn technology, which assembles Apple's iPhones in China, has said today it is prepared to deal with the risks coming from the ongoing trade war between the US and China. And they've said they're even prepared to move plants and properties outside of mainland China. While Apple and China's Huawei have made some changes to their orders, a Foxconn official has said the company faces limited impact. Speaking of Huawei, we've also heard that British lawmakers have grilled a Huawei executive on the company's secret practices and secret security practices in a hearing as the UK debates what role Huawei will play in building out 5G networks across the country. Huawei's global cybersecurity and privacy officer defended the company's security practices. This according to a report on CNBC. Also coming from CNBC, Gary Shapiro, who is the president and CEO of the Consumer Technology Association, has said that the US economy may be pushed into a Trump recession. I wonder how he'll respond to that title, considering he likes putting his name on everything. This would be just as good a thing to put a name on as any if Washington follows through on its threat to impose tariffs on an extra $300 billion worth of Chinese goods. What we might be staring down the barrel of is a Trump recession, is what we are hearing from Gary Shapiro. This is, of course, also comes in the wake of what Morgan Stanley had said about a week or 10 days ago, when it said, you know, if these tariff wars go on between these two countries, the recession isn't too far away. Amazon has overtaken Google and Apple to become the world's most valuable brand at a whopping $315.5 billion, according to a ranking of global companies, up 52% on last year. Apple comes in second, valued at a close $309.5 billion, and Google is in third place with $309 billion. So just about $500 million separating Apple and Google. And this is my favorite piece of news coming out of the American stock markets. Beyond Meat, which is a plant origin alternative to meat, short sellers. People thought this was not going to do well because it had a fairly bad IPO. And so short sellers, you know, betted against Beyond Meat. And now they have lost more than $400 million betting against it because the stock has now been up 600% from its $25 per share IPO price. Somewhere there's a huge army of vegetarians cheering on, but this is what has happened with Beyond Meat. Will it continue this momentum? I mean, who can ever tell on stock market issues, but this is what has happened as of now. Tesla is going to be holding its annual shareholder meeting. The electric vehicle company has had a bit of a tough year of sinking share prices. A tough year is a bit of an understatement there as well. It has also missed production quotas, but then that again is not new. But there's been weak demand. So that's been a bit of a new feature in Tesla's game plan. CEO Elon Musk has said he will lay out plans for future growth. Speaking of other companies from Silicon Valley, Salesforce comes to mind. Salesforce has said that they have bought Tableau for $15.7 billion. What is Tableau? Tableau is a data visualization company. So you drag and drop any amount of data that you have and it'll make you see it differently and beautifully. And many analysts are already saying that this may well be the most strategic move that Salesforce has made in recent times. Speaking of more strategic moves, Intel has acquired Barefoot Networks with plans to bolster networking and interconnect silicon. What does Barefoot do? Barefoot is all about making that silicon, which is programmable for public cloud deployments. Intel's bet is that Barefoot, which competes with Broadcom, will help it target hyperscale and networking customers. Intel's purchase comes after Nvidia acquired Mellanox, which does similar work. In more tech-related news, hackers apparently have stolen photos of travelers' faces and license plates collected by the U.S. Customs and Border Protection Agency. The hackers gained access to the images through a subcontractor's network, which then transferred the photographs to its network in violation of CBP, that is Customs and Border Protection Police's, according to the agency. In more tech-related news, YouTube, which has been in a bit of trouble over the past few weeks, is back in the news because the CEO has apologized to the LGBTQ community for not banning videos involving homophobic slurs last week, but has maintained that she believed the company made the right decision based on its current policies. What is all this hoo-ha about? We know that Carlos Maza, who is a Vox journalist, openly gay and a person of color, uploads all these videos about Trump or whatever else is happening in America, mostly explainers, and there's this guy called Steven Crowder, who has been harassing him with video after video after video, using racist and homophobic slurs in these videos. And several people asked YouTube to take it down, but it didn't. So that's where all the controversy comes. And now the CEO is saying, well, we stood by what the company's policies are. And in other news coming out of tech world, Facebook has switched off Graph Search, which used to be a tool that allowed researchers and journalists to search the social network in powerful ways. This according to Vice. And meanwhile, Larry Page and Sergey Brin have spoken at a Google all-hands meeting for the first time in 6 months. And what else is happening from Silicon Valley? Well, more YouTube news. YouTube's crackdown on extremist videos has inadvertently shut down educational channels featuring old Nazi footage. This is taking the baby out of the bathwater. The videos were taken down in the wake of YouTube's announcement it would crack down on bigoted content and videos which glorify Nazi and other extremist ideologies. And in the process, the educational videos are also gone. In other news coming out of the United States, the U.S. House has voted to hold the Attorney General in civil contempt. Democrats want William Barr, who is the Attorney General, to hand over an unredacted copy of Robert Mueller's report on Russian election interference. But after a deal with the Justice Department was struck yesterday to give the Judiciary Committee, which is headed by Jerry Nadler, access to Mueller's most important files, lawmakers have said they won't go to court to enforce this resolution. What else has been happening? Well, there is more news coming from North Korea, if you can believe. Kim Jong-nam, who is Kim Jong-un's half-brother, he was killed in a 2017 attack in Malaysia, some of you might recall. And now it has been reported by the Wall Street Journal that he was a CIA operative. He was a CIA source. It was also reported that he was in contact with security services of other countries, including China. Well, that's for North Korea update. And coming back to America, because we can't seem to escape it, US officials have confirmed that Mike Pompeo had LGBT flag restrictions. It is Pride Month, as you know. The State Department has said that the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, who is an evangelical Christian, as are many officials in the Trump administration, although evangelical Christians have always said, you know, we're all about family values. We don't believe in cheating on wives and husbands, etc. And here they have. Their leader is a man who's been married thrice and cheated on two of his wives. Oh, wow. Now, this man, who also happens to not like the LGBT people, because that's the thing now, he's barred embassies from using their flagpoles for the rainbow flag. A spokeswoman said staff are free to hang flags elsewhere during Pride Month, but not in these buildings. Wah, America. And in a roundup of some other pieces of news, you know, or you may have heard, that the world's most expensive painting costs about $450 million, and people think it may be one of the paintings of Leonardo da Vinci. And the whereabouts of this, we did not know. And now it turns out it may be on a yacht of Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. This is a mystery which may be solved, but we don't know yet. Confirmations are not available, but that missing $500 million worth painting may be with MBS. I don't know if you've seen this. Some people are saying that they've spotted an elf in a home security footage. And some other people are obviously saying this is a prank. But if you see that video, there is definitely a floppy-eared, thin-limbed individual or some creature doing some jigs next to a car in the parking area. And if you happen to see it, and if you have any more leads on it, do please be sure to let us know. The Guardian has reported that Egyptian authorities are trying to stop the auction of a statue of Tutankhamun's head at Christie's auction house in London next month after concerns were raised that the bust might have been stolen from the Karnak Temple in Luxor. The statue, which is a brown quartzite head of the young pharaoh, which portrays him as the ancient god Amun, is expected to raise more than £4 million at auction next month. But Egyptian officials have called on Christie's to prove that the statue left the country legally. This 28.5 centimeter high statue is more than 3,000 years old and exudes strength and serenity, according to the Christie's listing. And if you think your office is boring, here is an idea. In Japan, there was a chair race. People with moving chairs, etc., who spend about 8-10 hours in these each day, decided to make it fun. So basically, they had a race. There was an office chair Grand Prix, and they scooted around in ordinary office furniture for about 2 hours in the city. So if you want to suggest an activity for the team during the next event, you can always say, we will do a chair race. Let's see how your managers respond to that. Well, that's all the news from the weird to the sublime from across the country. Let's take a look at the final tally on Dalal Street before I let you go. The BSE Sensex rose 165 points to 39,950, while the Nifty 50 closed 42 points higher at 11,965. In the meanwhile, do write into us, mcpodcast@nw18.com. Until the next time you hear from me, this is me, Rakesh Sharma, on behalf of the Money Control Podcast Desk, saying thank you for joining us and do stay with us on moneycontrol.com to be a smart listener and an even smarter investor.
This has been today's Editor's Pick, and you've been listening to Money Control.